So, what changed between Sunday evening, keeping in mind I was told there was momentum building, but nothing was imminent on Sunday evening? What changed on Monday? Here's what I'm told changed on Monday. Stephen Jones and Todd France got close enough on Monday, wherein Jerry Jones then said, "I'll take it from here." That's basically the gist of what occurred.
The NFL knows that salary caps are funny money, so they do accounting tricks like this. You can basically sign a guy to an extra year that they're not under contract for, but it's in the contract, simply for the purpose of allocating that signing bonus. So the Cowboys have added an extra year to Dak's contract, 2025, which doesn't exist. He'll be a free agent, but now he'll have a dead money hit on the Cowboys cap in 2025. And as we've discussed, because of these TV deals that are about to come, there's going to be an enormous amount of room on the 2025 cap. They're going to absorb that $13.2 million.
It's so for money. And no, you know what? I don't believe Keanu Neal is a replacement. I don't. When Keanu Neal is healthy, he is much more than a replacement. I'm not going to let you do the homie like that.
Are we in 2018? Is Dak Prescott going to get $29 million a year?
You ain't going to never let that go. I like how you stuck that. The deal's done, KD. Move on.
We're in a time machine.
Move on.
All right. You are now rocking with the best, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for tuning in to another exciting, exhilarating episode of the Catch This Fade podcast. I am, of course, your host, Katie Drummond. That is my man, $5,000, the one and only Mr. Patrick No C. Walker. Say what's up to the people, Pat.
Ladies and gentlemen, to quote the great Dwayne Johnson, a.k.a. The Rock, finally, the Dak Prescott deal in Dallas is done. We are going to dive into that. We're going to be all over that, breaking down the contract, a procedural move that is being done effective today that some didn't expect, but makes complete sense. And we'll talk about that. But first and foremost, before we get into all that, I have to lead with a thank you. Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, subscribers of the program, be it $3 tier per month or $10 tier per month, that gets all the bells and whistles, the pre-roll where I constantly put KD in his place, so forth and so on.
You know that's a lie.
Thank you for always riding with us, rocking with us. And this is a little bit of a different angle that we're taking on today's episode. On this most recent episode, we're going to do a half and half. So this portion you're looking at right now is actually completely free, and it's going to be free for upwards of the next 30 minutes. That's going to give the new watchers and the new listeners an opportunity to see exactly what Catch This Fade is, what we bring to the table, and why you should choose one of the subscription tiers to enrich your Cowboys fandom and knowledge. Because what you don't want to be is one of these Cowboys fans that don't know what the hell is going on, but think they know what the hell is going on.
And they're going to be catching the fade along with a lot of other people during this broadcast today.
Because we keep receipts.
Pat definitely keeps receipts. I keep some receipts. I'm a little bit disorganized when it comes to my receipts. Mm-mm. Pat probably has a whole Excel or Google sheet.
I didn't even unleash a percentage. What I let loose last night?
Just a little bit.
Hours after the Dak news, oh man, that's not even a tenth of a percent. Like I sat on a lot just because I tried not to inundate my followers with too much of that. But I got enough out there to get my point across. I keep receipts.
We call that in the MCU world a teaser trailer. Speaking of which,
mid-credit
Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I don't even want to talk to you about WandaVision because I know you're not caught up yet because you're trash.
No. But why am I not caught up, Katie?
Because you don't can't afford to subscribe to Disney Plus.
No.
That's not it.
Come on. Try again. I'll take a sip of sweet tea while you figure it out. I know unsweetened tea, and that's part of your problem.
Oh, you're blasphemous. That's part of the problem. Blasphemous, dog.
Yeah, you drink unsweetened tea, so it takes you a minute to. You're slow on the uptake, but
I got stones. I can't drink tea anymore. Okay, I got stones. All right.
No more tea. Hey, I've had stones before, and I'm still drinking it, but yours were precipitously worse.
Yeah, so, thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay. We'll leave it there. But the reason I'm not caught up on the WandaVision is because
you can't afford Disney Plus.
Because I told you specifically, if you would stop flexing for the people that don't know any better,
it's $4.99 a month.
I want it to binge. I don't want, I, I'm not in the mood for the whole, you know, watch one or two episodes and then sit there drooling for the next 7 days waiting for another one. I'm not. What I wanted to do was wait until the entire season was over, and then I was going to dive in. And guess what? Now the entire season is over. I've been able to successfully dodge every single spoiler, which is an achievement. And I swear to God, I've been able to dodge every single spoiler, and now, effective this weekend, I get to run through the entire WandaVision season one, and that's going to be a blast, and that's going to prep me for Winter Soldier and Falcon. Gimme! I'm here
This is not going to be one of these episodes, although we do have some entertainment stuff coming for you guys down the pike. So make sure that you're paying attention. Make sure you're following Pat on Twitter at Voice of the Star, me, myself at KD Drummond NFL, and also follow me on my other account, which is just recently going to start picking up speed. Stop, Drop, Binge. At Stop, Drop, Binge. That's where you're going to get all of your. All of your latest entertainment talk. I am going to be basically diverting all of that conversation away from my personal account over to that one. So make sure you're following that at Stop Drop Binge. The website is up. It doesn't have content up right now, but it will be getting content more and more over the next several months. So make sure that you're doing that.
Like, make sure you also follow my new Twitter account at KD is a bum. And it's plenty of content flooding on there, even as we speak.
Anyway, so the haters are out of the way now. Let's talk about this Dak Prescott deal. And Pat, you have given us a foundation over the last several months, keeping all of the listeners, all of the viewers, all of the followers up to date on how everything progressed. Obviously, everybody is in the know right now. 4 years, $160 million. Walk us through how we got to this point. Give us a short version and don't miss any of the important parts.
That last part, sir. You tried it, but not to recap the entire 3+ years, because obviously the negotiations can be, you know, you could root that back to 2018 when Dak Prescott changed agents over to Todd France in preparation for the negotiations. Everybody knows they whiffed, them being the Cowboys, in 2019. They got closer, but whiffed in 2020. In the witching hour on July 15th, Dak Prescott got on the phone with team exec Stephen Jones. They got close. Nothing was imminent, though, because they didn't have time. By the time they got on the phone, they didn't have time to hammer out contractual language and get it all sent over to the league office before the 4 p.m. Eastern deadline. So another whiff. Here we are. Flash forward to February. Now, they could have began talking with Dak Prescott as soon as the season ended. I mean, early January, late December, technically. But the Cowboys held firm on being silent, and it wasn't because there was any type of contention whatsoever. It was because, as I reported often, the Cowboys wanted more clarity on the salary cap for 2021 so that they could frame their proposal, their latest proposal, to Dak Prescott and Todd France. Once the NFL and NFLPA agreed that the floor would be raised from $175 to $180 million, that gave the Cowboys at least enough clarity to reach out to Todd France the last week of February. And I was told initially that the talks were good, progressive. The tone was promising much more so than it had been in the past couple of seasons. But it was still primarily Stephen Jones, Todd France trying to work this out. When I spoke with sources as recently as Sunday evening, I was told that the deal was not imminent, but there was momentum picking up. And the expectation remained that the tag would be applied on Tuesday, not as a procedural thing, but simply because there were a couple of gaps that still needed to be closed. And having this conversation on Sunday, that would have meant the Cowboys had less than 48 hours to close these gaps. I think like 37, 38 hours, just still some ground to cover. Not a lot of time to do it. Hence the expectation of the tag. Now, keep in mind, I was told as recently as last July that Jerry Jones was allowing Stephen Jones to handle the entirety of the Dak Prescott negotiations, which you and I can agree was not the wise move, because that's, you don't want to play the frugal game with your quarterback. You should have played that with the other positions if you want to play that game. But this time around, and I alluded to it back in January when I said when these negotiations pick up, there is a great chance, I'm told, that Jerry Jones is going to put at least one hand on the wheel. And ultimately, that's what ended up happening on Monday. He allowed Stephen Jones to still do the heavy lifting. Todd France was open to what Stephen Jones was was proposing, and the Hall of Famer stepped in and helped close the deal. So now here we are, 4 years, $160 million that could max at 164. I'm told that there is a performance. There are performance escalators. One specifically that says if he, Dak Prescott leads the Cowboys to the Super Bowl, he'll get a $1 million bonus. Now that is per annum. So if he does it 4 years in a row, there's your $4 million difference between 160 and 164. $66 million signing bonus, highest in NFL history. We'll get into how that breaks down prorated wise and recap. But yeah, here we are, 120, what was it, four? Guaranteed? Six, 126 yeah. Guaranteed. So the deal's done. And man, it's creative. It's fun when you sit here and break it down, because it's a 4 year deal that's actually a 6 year deal that's actually a 5 year deal. Everybody got what they wanted.
Yep, it's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day. And not everybody got what they wanted, if we're being honest, because
are you referring to the Dakators?
A couple people are gonna have to catch this fade.
Because I took a sip of the sweetness for this one. Go for it.
Over the past several years, we've been exploring the idea of Dak Prescott getting a new contract. And we've talked about the virtue of giving Dak Prescott a new contract and where he stands amongst the top NFL quarterbacks. And there has been a vocal contingent of people that have told us, A, Dak Prescott isn't worth the money. He's not that good. B, Dak Prescott will never get that money. C, start Andy Dalton.
I'm old enough to remember that conversation.
Right. So all of y'all people that had this ridiculous fantasy that the Cowboys and Dak Prescott weren't going to work out a deal, y'all got to catch the fade. Absolutely 100%, y'all got to catch all of this fade. I'm not just talking about a nice little trim, a nice little edge up. I'm not that. The entire fade, y'all got to catch this fade right now. The high top kid and play 1993.
Mm-hmm. House party.
Eraserhead. That's what I'm talking about. Because that's unacceptable that y'all had doubts about what was going to happen. And shout out, I don't know the man, but Todd France, for some reason, was getting absolutely eviscerated by a large percentage, not a majority, but a large number. The Cowboys have a big fan base, so everything is a large number, caveat included. Mm-hmm. But a large number of fans were just reaming Todd France for his inability to get a deal done. Oh, he has all of his players on the franchise tag because he's just waiting so he can separate from CAA and get all the money going towards him and his new agency. And he doesn't know how to close a deal. And he's the NFL's version of Scott Boras, except he can't finish the negotiations. And he was just persona non grata. I had multiple people telling me, like actually telling me, that there was scuttlebutt around the fact that Dak was going to have to fire Todd France in order to get this deal done. And lo and behold, Todd France just got his client pretty much the best contract in NFL history.
Yeah. And maneuvered it in such a way that the Cowboys had to agree to franchise tag Dak Prescott anyway. Yep. So for those of you that are wondering, well, Pat, KD, why in the hell would they agree to terms to a deal and then franchise tag him anyway? Well, here's why. Because it's a technicality that works in the favor of Dak Prescott. Once this franchise tag is applied, it's now the second one that's applied. Now, Dak Prescott has until March 17th to sign his new deal, and he will sign his new deal. Once that happens, the franchise tag will fall off, but not the fact that two had been applied. So in the future, when the Cowboys and Dak Prescott come back to the table, and it won't be in 4 years, that's when the deal expires for the most part. It'll be in 3 years, probably. Right. 3 years from now, when they start talking again, they can't hang the franchise tag over Dak Prescott's pay because it'll be a 44% increase over the previous year's salary.
Yep,
that would be an exorbitant amount of money. So not only did Todd France get the deal done that Dak Prescott was looking for, while at the same time, kudos to the Cowboys for being able to strike a compromise and, you know, a creative structuring on this, wherein they were able to get the two voided years, which helps them spread the cap out, which is what they were looking for when they held firm at 5 years in the first place. But Todd France got the deal done, and he was able to add that little bit of a cherry on top to say, okay, and for the future tense, when we come back to this table and have these negotiations, you won't get to use the franchise tag against my client in a scenario where, all things considered, the salary cap should be somewhere on Neptune in 3 years from
exactly.
now.
Exactly.
So kudos, like you said, kudos to Todd Friends. Kudos to the Cowboys and Dak Prescott for finally getting this done. But as far as those of you who had, you know, all these graphic mock-ups of Dak Prescott in the 49ers uniform, Bears uniform, he's going to the Jets, he's going to the Texans, you know.
Now.
What say you now?
Now.
What say you now? Now? So, and again, and this is what I'll say, and we'll really get into the minutiae of Dak's contract. This is not to fade anyone that had reasonable doubt. If you had reasonable doubt, and I mean the doubt had to be reasonable, that being rooted in how long it was taking to get the deal done, the fact that they had whiffed the past two off seasons, past two springs and summers, all of that, I get it. So if that was fueling some pessimism, that was completely understood.
But the people that are saying
it'll never get done, bookmark this, save this. I'm telling you, you don't know what you're talking about.
Those folks. Sucks to be you. Sucks to be you today.
It must suck to suck.
Yep.
So
it's an interesting situation because when we talk about it all the time, what it takes in order to get a deal done with a free agent.
Bless their hearts.
we talk about what it takes to get a deal done with a free agent. And part of the negotiation is almost always structured around the fact of if a guy is an unrestricted free agent, no contract, we're not talking about extension or anything like that, what does it cost to franchise tag a player twice? That's basically always going to be the foundation of a negotiation for the guaranteed money that goes into a contract. First year franchise tag, and if you can't agree to another deal, second year franchise tag. Because the third year franchise tag is always off in the distance as something that nobody will ever get to because it's so prohibitive. As Pat mentioned, you sign a franchise tag based on the salary cap in year one. The second tag is going to be 120% of whatever that number was. And then the third tag is 144% of the prior year salary. So for Prescott, it would have been, if he got tagged this year, it would have been $37.69 million. And then the 144% of that would have bumped it to $54 million for 2022. So basically the rules are that anytime that you sign a contract, anytime that you've been franchised a second time, nowhere else in your career does that franchise tag counter reset. So you can sign a 10-year deal. And if at the end of that 10 years, the team wants to franchise tag you again, 144% of the prior year salary. That's why it's so important for Dak to get this tag now. And not only did he get the agreement that they're not going to franchise tag him again, he also got a no trade clause.
Yep.
So he got all of this money, more than what he would have gotten if he had signed the deal last year, played four and a half games before he was injured, got all of the money, more money, and he's preventing the Cowboys from having control over his destiny once that time comes. So just a tremendous...
All of that, and this is why I'm so thrilled about this contract, because it not only, and you and I both being player advocates for everything you just mentioned and everything I mentioned prior to that when it comes to Dak Prescott and Todd Friends and how they finesse this, fantastic. But put on your GM hat for a minute, and even from a GM standpoint, you're still right where you want to be. With this contract, you save $15.5 million against the 2021 salary cap by virtue of Dak Prescott only being paid $9 million in base salary in 2021. Add that to, you know, the 13.2 prorated portion of the $66 million signing bonus. And then you look forward and you say, okay, well, yes, it's a four-year deal for all intents and purposes, even though for bookkeeping purposes, it's a six-year deal.
We'll talk about that.
If you're the Cowboys, let's say – The completely unexpected happens, because we're going to shoot straight here, Katie, as we always do. And let's talk objectively for a minute.
Okay,
let's say just Dak comes out and just stinks up the joint for the next season or two. I don't believe it's going to happen. I will put all money on the table and tell you it's so not going to happen. But let's entertain devil's advocate for a second. Were to happen, the Cowboys they can't trade him, but they can outright release him as soon as 2023, and get a cap savings then. I think it's just over $4 million if it's pre-June 1st.
Yeah, the way it works is that the Cowboys have a clause in there, and it's pretty much standard language when you're dealing with the guarantee. So his signing bonus is guaranteed. That $66 million, that's his. Getting paid by the end of the calendar year. At some point, he is going to get $66 million. In addition to that, on a weekly basis, I believe now, instead of 17 weeks, they do it over 34 weeks. So you're getting paid in the offseason as well under the new CBA. That's a change that was different. You used to only get paid during the regular season, but now you also get offseason money. They spread out your salary based on those 17 weeks. He's going to get $9 million of base salary for the 2021 season. So that $75 million he's going to see in year one of his deal, that is guaranteed. The $20 million cash of
flow.
His
for those that don't understand, that's cash flow. There's a difference between cash flow and cap hit.
And cap hit. Very big difference. The $20 million that's on the books for 2022, that is also fully guaranteed. So his base salary next year is fully guaranteed. There is a clause in this contract that if he's released by the fifth day of the 2022 new league year, not regular season, but if he basically, we're about to start the 2021 league year on March 17th.
Right.
So by March 22nd, that'll be the fifth league day of the 2021 calendar year. So in 2022, that same parameter applies to his contract. The Cowboys would have to release Dak Prescott by the fifth day of the 2022 league year, or else his 2023 salary guarantees.
The 31 so in effect, plus
million. Right, and that's $31 million. So in effect, this is the difference between a fully guarantee, the $95 million, a functional guarantee, which is another $31 million, $126 million overall, and what's sometimes termed as a total guarantee, which includes injury guarantees, which aren't a part of Prescott's contract, but are often a part of NFL contracts. Right. It's functionally guaranteed that he's going to make $126 million because the Cowboys aren't going to give him $75 million in year one, $20 million in year two, and then cut him so he doesn't even play in year two just to avoid paying him $31 million in year three. That's why it's a functional guarantee. They would be cutting off their nose to spite their face just to save 2023 money. The only way that comes into fruition is if Dak Prescott can't play again. That's the only situation where they even consider anything like that. That's the only thing that would preclude them from having him on the roster on the fifth day of the 2022 league year. If he goes out there, something catastrophic happens, knock on wood, that doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. But that's what they're basically preparing themselves for by calling that a functional guarantee instead of a full guarantee. But
and with that being said, let's readdress the elephant in the room when it comes to Dak Prescott's health. Dak Prescott,
sure he's fine.
He remains ahead of schedule to show up in April, assuming there are no delays with the NFL calendar with the offseason program beginning in April. He is on track for that, ahead of schedule. I'm told he's running. He's in the building daily in Frisco, rehabbing, recovering. The Cowboys have no concerns whatsoever. So it's a full go for Dak Prescott and the Cowboys.
He's been at the facility rehabbing for the last, I believe, several weeks.
Daily. Right?
Yeah. So yeah,
actually, he after the initial surgery in October, obviously he had to, you know, make sure got past the infection stage,
right?
The potential infection stage, let the swelling go down, et cetera, et cetera. But at some point before he even had the second surgery, which was voluntary to strengthen the ankle, he had already begun recovery and rehab work at the Star in Frisco. So then once he went back and had that voluntary surgery done, you know, 2 or 3 weeks later, he was it strengthened his ankle in such a way that it expedited him already having been ahead of schedule to the point where I'm told he was at least jogging as recently as late December. And now here we are, the beginning of March. And this is actually a conversation that I had at the end of February. He's running, not jogging, not slow walking. Running. And this is something that I reported on with CBS Sports, and that early February, he was out of the boot. I was told that was later confirmed by Tad Prescott, Dak's brother. And now it's just a go, man. It's just a go. The only thing that was in the way was, you know, the contract needed to be done. But guess what? Stop me if you've heard this before. It's done.
It's done.
It's done. It's a beautiful thing.
I mentioned earlier, you know, you've already said we're pro player when it comes to getting that bag.
Yes.
We're always going to be pro player when it comes to getting that bag. That's just how we're built.
This is also going to help keep Michael Gallup. You were saying?
No, it's not. Why would you even try to sidetrack me like that? No, it's not. Michael Gallup is done after this year, bro. I hate to break it to you.
This is I'm so sorry. They'll keep Michael Gallup.
You're not going to sidetrack me, Ricky Bobby. It's not going to happen. I'm trying to focus. The contract, the Dak Prescott contract, is such a beautiful thing. It's one of the things that I noticed yesterday when I was looking at the numbers. And you were like, okay, $126 million is a very interesting number. And then I started to dive into it. What it turns out is that the way that you achieve $126 million in the negotiation, I talked about this, I referenced it, alluded to it earlier, about using franchise tags as the basis for guaranteed money. After you get the first franchise tag, it's kind of uncharted waters, especially for a quarterback, because quarterbacks don't play on the franchise tag ever. It's only been two people, Drew Brees and then Kirk Cousins. Neither of them signed long-term deals with the franchise that tagged them. Drew Brees was tagged by the Chargers. They had drafted Phillip Rivers, so you saw what the exodus was going to be there. Washington is just a shit show of an organization, so you saw what was going to happen there. They tagged Kirk Cousins twice, and then he ended up signing a three-year deal with Minnesota. So again, setting the stage, you don't know how that is going to play out when it comes to negotiating a long-term contract and where you get the foundation for guaranteed money. And then I broke down the 126. It turns out that 126 is the sum of $34.5 million, which was the last offer that was on the table last year before they had to cut bait on July 15th. That contract was going to average $34.5 million a season. Then the second tag this year, $37.7 million. A third tag, $54 million. Add it all up, $126 million. Bingo. That's the guaranteed money that Dak Prescott got over the 3 years.
Todd, I thought
that
France was a
phenomenal job. Phenomenal job by Todd France. I am in such awe, and I'm impressed. I'm impressed. Y'all know how much I love the cap. I'm not an agent. I'm not a CPA or any of that stuff, but I'm just very much impressed for how it's clear that's how that came together. I mean, there's no other way that you can arrive at that number without considering those things. It's just a beautiful thing. And then the Cowboys did what I felt was creative. The first person to publicly report it was Todd Archer of ESPN. He was the first person to suggest that the team was going to follow the footsteps of what they did with DeMarcus Lawrence and creating a void year. He suggested, why don't they do two void years? And that's exactly what the Cowboys did.
Fantastic work by Archer.
Incredible. He is like, there's really no comparison when it comes to the old guard of being able to stay consistent through all these years and still be at the absolute top of the game than Todd Archer. I mean, I give all respect to all the beat writers in Dallas and all that sort of stuff. Archer is the pinnacle. He is what he is.
Yes.
So for those that don't understand how void years work, the Cowboys have signed Dak Prescott to 4 years. Mm-hmm. But because signing bonuses are allocated over the length of a contract, you can do that up to 5 seasons. So let's say that you sign a guy for a $20 million signing bonus on a 5-year contract. Instead of $20 million counting against the cap in year one, along with the base salary, signing bonuses are prorated equally over the length of the deal. So 5 years, $20 million, instead of a $20 million cap hit plus the base salary, is now a $4 million cap hit plus the base salary. And then each subsequent year gets another $4 million cap hit. So basically, when you have a 4-year deal, you lose that 5th year in order to allocate the cap hit from the signing bonus. That's where the void years come in. The NFL knows that salary caps are funny money. So they do accounting tricks like this. You can basically sign a guy to an extra year that they're not under contract for, but it's in the contract simply for the purpose of allocating that signing bonus. So the Cowboys have added an extra year to Dak's contract, 2025, which doesn't exist. He'll be a free agent, but now he'll have a dead money hit on the Cowboys cap in 2025. And as we've discussed, because of these TV deals that are about to come, there is going to be an enormous amount of room on the 2025 cap. They're going to absorb that $13.2 million.
It's sofa money, if that. But kudos to the Cowboys for learning cap magic. Because what they just pulled with Dak Prescott, as you were breaking down so eloquently, the void years, this is not something, you've seen them do it with DeMarcus Lawrence, but this is typically not an exercise that the Cowboys deploy. But you know who likes to do it? The New England Patriots. So the Cowboys, if you look at how the Cowboys have been negotiating contracts, at least for the past, let's say, 2 or 3 years, for the most part, they're it seems like they're on the trajectory where they're beginning more and more to mirror some of these contractual, you know, circus tricks that they've learned from other teams that are typically better than them on a perennial basis. Yep. So for all of the flack that Jerry Jones catches as a general manager, keep in mind what I reported at the beginning of this episode and what I reported on Twitter, you know, minutes after the deal finally landed, in that, again, taking nothing away from Stephen Jones. But Jerry Jones closed this deal.
Right.
And in closing this deal, I'm fully confident that a lot of this creativity we're talking about, the two voided years and, you know, year six, not even having a cap hit whatsoever, and et cetera, et cetera. I'm confident that Stephen Jones was able to get Todd France to the point of saying, OK, here are the hard numbers that we're willing to agree to. 4 years, you know, $160 million, et cetera, et cetera. And Jerry Jones came in and said, we really want that fifth year. And here's how we can do it. There's a reason the guy has on a gold jacket. There's just a reason, you know. So at the end of the day, kudos to Stephen Jones and Jerry Jones. But for those of you that are saying, oh, well, maybe Jerry Jones lost it, they keep saying deadlines make deals. Well, there was a deadline today and the deal got done. So maybe they still do make deals, but maybe we were just – well, number one, we were right because it should have been done. So, yeah, I'm not going. Yeah, it should have been done. But the good news is no more deadlines. The deal is done. And man, just to have them swoop in like that on Monday. Fantastic. And here's another thank you to the Cowboys and KD, myself, all of our colleagues. We have to be in agreement on this. Thank you for not doing this at 1 a.m. in the morning.
Thank you for not doing it on a fucking Friday.
Thank you. On Saturday afternoon.
Oh, my God. Thank you guys so much.
Now, yesterday, you know, you caught me with a mouthful of Chick-fil-A sandwich. You know, I'm going to put that out there, right? Because I had come, went and got some early dinner, came home, sat down, took a couple bites, and then ding, 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 phone's going crazy before, you know, it's done. And I'm like, what's done? Dak. Oh, my. And then, you know, hop on your horse and you get going. But I would absolutely prefer you catch me slipping with some Chick-fil-A in my hand on a Monday afternoon.
Right.
Than Friday evening, 10 o'clock, Saturday morning, 1:30 a.m. So, Dallas, thank you. Thank you for not giving this Dak news the Ezekiel Elliott treatment in which –
they've done so many times to all of us. So many times.
So thank you. We really appreciate it.
But wait, it gets worse.
So thank you.
We were talking about the void year, and you mentioned it's not one, but two void seasons. Yep. And this is where the Cowboys' angle of things, you have to give them kudos. You give all kudos to Todd France for getting what he got.
Everybody gets kudos. You get a kudos. You get a kudos.
Just like, we're giving all the dirt on the royal family. Everybody's getting fed right now. The Cowboys negotiated, as Pat alluded to, a second void year. And what does that matter? Because the proration of the signing bonus from year one is only spread over 5 years. So right now there's a void year that has absolutely no cap hit, no dead money whatsoever in 2026. Here's why. The Cowboys are going to do a restructure of Dak Prescott's contract. And whether it be in 2022 or 2023, one of those years is going to be restructured. And let's take for example, let's assume it's going to be 2022. His base salaries are as follows. $9 million this year, $20 million next year, $31 million in 2023, and then $29 million in 2024, plus a roster bonus, which is basically just a $5 million kicker to say, if we're not going to keep you for this contract, you'll know earlier in the year, in the league year, than later on in the league year. Right. We can't play you like they did Dez Bryant. But back to this 2022 calendar year, $20 million is the base salary. The Cowboys are now going to be able to, with this built-in void year of 2026, they are going to be able to restructure that base salary, which turns into, it's basically another signing bonus. So they will convert $19 million or up to $19 million of that $20 million and turn it into a bonus, which means Dak Prescott will still get paid the exact same amount. Mm-hmm. But you're allowed to, remember, accounting magic, you're allowed to now spread that bonus evenly across another 5 years. That's why you had to get a sixth year in the contract. The second year base salary is now spread out over 5 years. The Cowboys, if they do that, the cap hit for Dak Prescott this year is beautiful, $22.2 million compared mm-hmm. to $37.7 million. Mm-hmm. Next year's cap hit, $18 million, dog. $18 million on the cap.
It's
so while we're sitting
so
here,
beautiful. It's so while, pretty. It's so,
it's so pretty.
Pretty. It's so
while
pretty.
We're sitting here talking about the fact that the league has to reduce the salary cap, $198 million last year, down to probably $180, $181 million this year. They're worried about the fact that they might have to steal from next year's cap to help offset from the losses that they took in 2020. That's a possibility, and nobody knows what's going to happen more than Jerry Jones. Always remember that when it comes to negotiations. Mm-hmm. His negotiations are basically a precursor to what the rest of the league is soon to find out or soon to start adopting. So I'm wondering if the way that they built this is them saying that next year's cap might not explode the way that they anticipate just because they have so much lost revenue from 2020 and it might spill over into next year's cap and it won't jump all the way up to $220 million in this big explosion that's most likely going to happen in 2023. But again, they're going to have Dak Prescott under contract for the next two seasons with a cap hit totaling $40 million.
Totaling.
He would have been franchise tagged for 37.7 right now if they couldn't come up with this agreement. Everybody won. How beautiful is that?
I don't know if there are many more words to describe it than what I used in my salary cap and Dak Prescott Cowboys salary cap contractual breakdown. It's a Rembrandt. This contract is a Rembrandt.
There you go.
Just a masterpiece of details and compromise in a way that in actuality, no one compromised.
Yep.
There's compromise and a complete lack of compromise all housed in the same contract. And
they
to your
figured
point,
out how it, everybody won.
I think it's a situation where Jerry Jones, as you mentioned, absolutely has the inside track on what's going to happen with these TV deals and when and if, well, not if, but when the salary cap is going to explode, be it right. 2022 or 2023. And I think the way they structured it with the trigger that's existing on a obviously potential restructure on Dak in 2022 is that it's Jerry Jones sitting back saying, you know what, there's a really good chance that the cap might not explode until 2023. And if that's the case, then, I mean, technically we could ride with Dak Prescott's contract as is, or we could pull the trigger. But in the event it does explode, it's even less of an issue, if one at all. And then if they do restructure it, guess what? Basically what KD is telling you, ladies and gentlemen, is that because year six is a void year with no cap hit whatsoever, because the final $13.2 million of the prorated signing bonus expires in year five. In year six, you have an empty bucket. It's just an empty bucket. So, yeah, you're kicking the money down the can, but you're not kicking it. You're kicking the can down the road, but you're not kicking it down the road to join other cans. In year six, there are no cans. And right. then by the time year six rolls around, we're talking about an exponential explosion of the salary cap when you compare right. it to what it looks like now and in 2022. Again, this contract is a Rembrandt from both sides. Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones, you nailed it. Dak Prescott, Todd France, you nailed it. The rest of the league is going to take note. I can tell you right now, today, as you're starting to hear, you know, conversations and reports coming out of Baltimore that, you know, the GM up there says, well, this Lamar Jackson contract, quote unquote, will take a while. I bet it will now.
Yeah, right. You got to restructure everything.
I bet it will now.
The same way when Deshaun Watson signed last year and the Cowboys were like, well, shit. Then 34.5 ain't going to cut it what, now, is it?
Which is what France was hoping on. We talked about this exactly. before. France was desperately hoping that Deshaun Watson's contract landed before Dax did. Once Watson's did, that helped provide the framework, in addition to Patrick Mahomes having the ceiling. That provided the framework for the deal we're looking at right now. And now if you're Baltimore, and we talked about this on previous episodes of Catch This Fade, we said, Cowboys, whatever you do not want 2021 to be another year where you watch the market gets reset because Josh Jackson. Allen might get his deal, Lamar Jackson. We don't know if Baker Mayfield is going to get his new deal yet. You want to be proactive. And for once, Now, granted, this took 3 years.
2 years come late. Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Yeah, granted it did. But for once, when I say for once, I'm speaking specifically to this offseason itself.
Right, right.
For once, they beat the other quarterbacks to the table. They beat the other GMs to the table. So now it's not the Cowboys having to restructure after they see a Lamar Jackson deal or a Baker Mayfield deal or a Josh Allen deal. Now, Dak Prescott has set. Dak Prescott has set it. And now it's, if I'm Lamar Jackson, I'm like, hold on.
I want 41.
Right. Now if I'm Lamar, 41. If I'm Lamar Jackson, at this point it's arguable, and you know, people can argue it all day long, and it'd be a good argument. But if I'm Lamar Jackson, I'm looking at Dak Prescott's contract, and I'm saying, I'm like, I'm better than that guy.
Yep. That's every quarterback's argument is gonna be that.
Yeah, every quarterback's gonna feel that way.
Yeah.
But Lamar Jackson is of the three, he's the only of the four, really, could Baker Dak.
Because he has the MVP.
He's the only one with the MVP under his belt.
Exactly, yep.
So, again, if I'm Lamar Jackson, I'm like, okay, well, let's start from square one.
Yeah.
So,
it's a beautiful thing. One of the things that I brought up was the idea that the Cowboys could restructure Prescott next year, and I was saying that it could possibly be because Jerry doesn't believe that the cap is going to explode next year. There's another reason it could be, but you're going to have to be a subscriber to figure that out.
This is
going to be the end of our free portion of this show. We have a lot more to discuss about. I'm going to have the answer to what I just teased right there. Teaser trailer. And we're also going to discuss some things about how the Cowboys are going to maneuver for the rest of free agency once the league year starts. Very important stuff. If you're not subscribing right now, if you're listening to the free show on Apple Podcasts or on Audio Boom, make sure that you subscribe at the $3 tier on patreon.com/catchthisfade. Subscribe right now on the minimum, the basic tier. If you bump that up to $10, if you're watching the show on YouTube right now, go to patreon.com/catchthisfade and subscribe at the Friends of the Show level. We have these shows every week during the regular season, twice a week. In the off season, it's one or two times a week. We have pre-rolls where me and Pat just cut up and act like fools, talking trash about his bum-ass Braves and my world champion Washington Nationals.
Listen,
we talk about this all the time.
Listen, I will absolutely. Do I need to drag you one last time before the free show ends? Because I will absolutely drag you, dude.
I will have Scott
leave my Bravos out of your uncultured face.
I will leave the Bravos out of the cultured World Series like everybody else does. I will do that. I will leave them out of the World Series conversation. Last year wasn't a real season, bro. What are you talking about? Asterisk. That's the ladies and gentlemen.
We'll be right, because I'll spare them from having to hear about how upset you are about Juan Soto again with the that emotion right there.
He's a modern day Ted Williams.
That's what I was
modern day Ted Williams.
He'll be in Atlanta soon. Don't worry about it.
Shut your face. We'll be right back.